Well, it's Palm Sunday, and Jesus was the hero of so many people on that day. At the edges of society, particularly, as they came out and as they welcomed him, and they were shouting, Hosanna, and they were shouting, Blessed is the King of Israel. But as the cross loomed for Jesus, and in our series in John 16 to 21, we're tracing that journey, Jesus' journey back to the Father, Father Cross. It was a stressful time for the disciples, as we saw last week. He'd already comforted them. It's okay for me to go, he says. I'm sending you my spirit. And in our passage this morning, which we're going to hear read in just a minute, he tells us he's praying for us. Imagine that, Jesus praying for us. That's great, isn't it? We're going to take a little snapshot from his prayer in John chapter 17. And Jesus prays for all believers. And as he prays, he's very much got us in mind as he prepares to go to the cross. Let's listen to this as Maggie comes and reads it for us.
Right, the reading's from John 17, which is on page 1085. 1085, and we're starting at verse 20. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may not be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Jesus, we thank you for your prayer for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in us and with us. And now, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, that our lives and our communities, our church and churches across the city, we might be changed and that the world might know how wonderful you are. I ask this now, that using my words, you'd help us to be attentive to you. Speak, Lord, in your name. Amen. Well, it's been a remarkable fortnight, if you've been watching in the media, as we reflected on last week. I guess, like me, you're amazed at how many people have been talking about prayer this week. I'm going to have to do some signs to the back occasionally to say slide. Slide. I'll do something like that. And I'm sure you haven't missed the news. They're very public. Cardiac arrest of Fabrice Muamba during the televised FA Cup contest. The gentleman there, one of the players, has started praying already. Fabrice's fiancée, Shauna, started tweeting on the 18th of March, the day after. She said, God is in control. Please keep Fabrice in your prayers. And the day after, she tweeted, all your prayers are helping people. Thank you so much. To God be the glory. And there were footballers wearing T-shirts saying, pray for Muamba. And the Sun newspaper published the headline, God is in control. Amen. At least there's some truth in this paper. It's true, isn't it? God is in control. And the national newspapers said it because Shauna Muamba said it. And he's doing really well this week, we hear. This was his message. Keep praying. because it'll be a long, slow recovery for him. But suddenly, this footballer's faith, which previously had been very private, has become very public. And people were writing about it. Non-Christian reporters were writing about this move of prayer, this great outpouring of love and support and togetherness. And all these people that you didn't know were prayerful people are suddenly saying that they are praying. And I want to ask this question this morning, as this private matter of faith comes into the public realm. As many people have come out and stood together saying, we stand together in prayer. I want to ask, does unity matter? And why does unity matter? People often say, well, faith is about me and God. It's a personal thing. I don't need to be a churchgoer to be a Christian. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've thought that sometimes. I want to ask this morning, is that right? Can we be a lone ranger Christian or a solitary saint? One of the strong evangelical traits, of course, is that we celebrate the personal nature of faith. And you know what? Faith needs to be personal, doesn't it? You need to know. If you grew up in a Christian family, you need to know that you believe it for yourself. I needed to know this as a teenager. But I also needed to have a corporate expression of my faith. Faith must be personal, but it must not remain personal. It needs to be expressed. If you read through Scripture, there are so many one another's in Scripture. It's something that we do together. And that's what was happening these last couple of weeks. People together are doing their faith publicly. Let's move on in that slide, shall we? What's amazing as we begin to dig into this passage that we're looking at this morning, is that Jesus is praying for us. Isn't that great that Jesus is praying for you and for me? But I find that what Jesus prays is slightly surprising. Jesus doesn't pray for me to have the most amazing, deep, devotional life. He doesn't pray for me to have success at work or in Christian ministry or an impact on people. He doesn't pray for me to have power to work miracles and do those sorts of things, many of which I would love. But that's not what he prays for me, and that's not what he prays for you. Let's look at John 17 and see what he prays. Verse 20. Verse 20, page 1085. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. For all of them, all who believe in Jesus' message, he prays that they may be one. He prays for our unity. Isn't that amazing? Jesus prays for our oneness. This is the prayer right before he goes to the cross. What's on his mind? What's on his mind is the impact, obviously, of the cross on his people, and that it would draw them together in a unity. He prays for the oneness of his followers. So I want to ask this question, why does unity matter? Why does Jesus pray for our oneness at such a pivotal time in his life? Well, I've come to see a few things in this passage that I would love us to grasp this morning and see why unity is so important in Jesus' mind. Firstly, it shows that we are united to Christ. It shows that we are united to Christ. Verse 21. My prayer is that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. This oneness that you and I are meant to have together as believers is a oneness that is a oneness between the Father and the Son. And we're drawn into this. And this is remarkable. There's a fellowship, a oneness, a unity that we can have with God that is then experienced by our unity that we have with one another. We are united in Christ. I wonder if you ever think of unity as the lowest common denominator. Kind of, well, yes, let's get on with everyone. Let's just be nice. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks or feels or believes, as long as we can stay together. That's not what Jesus means by unity. This is unity in Christ. It's unity in the highest common denominator. It's the oneness of Jesus. And in fact, if you look back to verse 17 in chapter 17, Jesus has been praying for them to be sanctified by the truth. It's a unity based on truth. The truth made flesh. The word of God made flesh in Jesus Christ. That we're to be united in. And the amazing thing is that you can see this in operation, this unity. With people that you haven't known very long, or from different backgrounds, or you've just met. You have a great sense of oneness because you're united in Christ. There was something of that at the Henry Ilonga event. I didn't know two-thirds of the people who came along. How wonderful it was that people came and heard Henry's testimony. But on the way out, someone was holding one of our Easter flyers. And I noticed, and they noticed that I noticed. And before I could say anything, there was a twinkle in their eye. There's something going on here, I thought. And they said, before I could say anything, they said, "Thank you. We're Christians. We'll be at church ourselves over Easter. And I hope your Easter events go really well." I've got no idea who they were. But there was a oneness there, that we're in this together. I find this when I travel overseas. I was in a Soweto township in South Africa, and my a pastor took myself and my father to visit a very simple lady in a broken-down home without two pennies to rub together. As we sat in her room, it was kitchen come living room come bedroom, really, we sat and the pastor prayed. And at that moment, you know, I felt I had more in common with her than with my father, who was sitting next to me because of her simple faith and trust. It was extraordinary. You don't have to work at this kind of unity. Jesus has done it. Now, this encourages me as I think about working across churches in Brighton with the realization this isn't something that we have to strive towards. Jesus has achieved it. It's something we kind of need to live in and recognize and embrace. We're united because we're united in Christ. And it shows in all kinds of ways, in our families and in our marriages. Unity in these matter because they demonstrate unity in Christ. Unity in our small groups matters as it demonstrates a unity to Christ. At unity in church, across churches, across nations, these things matter because they demonstrate that we're united in Christ. It's a wonderful thing when you see it and watch it happening. I don't know if you've been catching the reverse missionary programs on the BBC recently. And it's there again, people coming from overseas to help out churches over here and experiencing a real sense of oneness of spirit as they so often come with such enthusiasm and boldness to witness. We've got so much to learn from other Christians. And that's one of the wonderful things that God has given us, to work together as a church family. One of the wonderful things about being united with other believers is it makes us realize how big, how vast Jesus is. He's great. He's glorious. And so in our world, which is so fragmented and broken up, and ever has been, I guess since the Tower of Babel, when God confused languages and people were against people, well, we see the reversal of that through what Jesus is doing. He's bringing us back together. We are one. We can be one. And so I think that's our first calling for us, Ascension. Why does unity matter for us? Because it shows that we are united to Christ. Sometimes some people get a bit down on meetings and meeting up with other Christians and a bit down on church and gathering. I don't need that, they say. I don't need to work with other people. But that kind of rings alarm bells with me as a pastor. It tells me actually there may be a disconnect between them and Christ. Because if there was a oneness with him, there would also want to be a oneness with others. Our unity is a vital part of our relationship with God. It shows we are united to Christ. But Jesus' desire for unity is not just for unity's sake. It has a purpose to it. Let's look at verse 21 together. Again, that all of them may be one Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Here's our second thing. It is a witness to the world. Again, it's in verses 22 and 23. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. It's not that unity matters because it's part of our witness. Our unity is our witness. Our love for one another, our oneness, the way that we do that in marriages and families, in small groups, as a church, as churches together, our unity is our witness. People are watching. They're watching how we live with each other at work, during the week, as they come in as visitors, perhaps even today. If you're a visitor today, it's great to have you here. I hope that you will see that we love one another and how we do that, that we're an extended family, that there are always these three levels. There's our relationship with God, there's our relationship with one another, and then there's our witness to the world. There was a presentation recently at Holland Road Baptist Church, and Caroline Lucas, our MP, came along and saw the work of that particular church. And then there was a presentation by some other church leaders across the city talking about the work of Alternatives and some of the youth projects going on. And she was really impressed. Wow, these things that you're doing together across the city. And they talked about the Passion Play coming up as well. And there's something about when we pull together that has a powerful impact. Something about when we realise that we can do more together as churches and as churches across the city than we can do on our own. I love this quote that's coming up. Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things, but just look what they can do when they stick together. Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? I don't know what you think. Maybe you think, well, I can't reach the city. We can't reach our nation. Are you so sure? If you're united with Christ and you're united with your brothers and sisters, surely nothing's impossible with God. I don't know if you noticed in the Times a week back something about what's going on over this Easter here. It said, I think there's probably a slide about it as well. It said, Passion Play Revival is coming to a city near you. It starts, I'm not religious, says Ken Cardwell, but when they put Jesus on the cross, it got through to me. It was very real. Cardwell, 73, was one of the 3,000 spectators on the beach at Brighton last Easter to watch the city's first Passion Play. With a 100-strong amateur cast from 14 countries, which included students, an ex-prisoner, a former homeless person, and three people with special needs, the Brighton Passion, now in its second year, typifies the trend for community Passion Plays. Right there, you've got a picture there of Trafalgar Square. Yes, Trafalgar Square, which is going to happen on Good Friday this year. And then on Easter Sunday, where is it on Easter Sunday? It's in Brighton, yeah. And the Times says it's between 2 and 5 p.m. on Sunday. That's great. It says it in our welcome sheets as well. That's fantastic. Churches coming together. People from different nationalities, places, churches proclaiming Christ, lifting him up in the public. What does it say in John 17? Verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He has given us glory. He's given glory to believers in Jesus Christ. The glory he displayed as he himself went to the cross. The glory which is a love for the world, which reveals the heart and character of God, that we might be one and that the world might see and know who Jesus is. I'm really looking forward to this Easter, but it will come and go so quickly. I just know it. And I have this fear that we might just miss it completely, miss the opportunity and not make the most of it. That someone in a couple of weeks might say, oh, I only just wish I'd gone to... Well, please don't do that. As well as what's going on down in the city, for Saturday and Sunday, I believe you can park at the marina for free and just walk along to the Vokes Railway where it is. It's not a very long walk from there. And the great concert on the Saturday and the Passion Play on the Sunday. You can invite your friends. There are banners and newspaper articles. The Guardian is supposedly publishing an article, 10 Great Things to Do This Easter. And apparently Soul by the Sea is in there. I don't know what number it will appear at. It doesn't matter. Imagine that. Go to Windsor Castle, come to Soul by the Sea. I'm sure we've got some Guardian readers here. Do look out for it. So there's that Saturday and Sunday down there. But there's also what's going on here as a church. We have our Easter holiday club, Monday to Wednesday. We don't know who's coming. No idea who's coming to that. Helen prayed. Great to pray for that. I spoke to a school governor at a governor's meeting on Wednesday, and she said how much her daughter Amy loved it last time. Can you lend a hand next week? There's a briefing after church. See Emma, if you've got time next week, you can help out in any way. We might be running a cafe again downstairs during the mornings. Are we? I don't know. Maybe if you can lend a hand, we can perhaps say to parents, stop for a while, stop for a chat, stop for a coffee, and encourage them and chat to them. If you can't come, do pray. Of course, Thursday and Friday this week, we're getting together to share the story of Easter. We unite around the love of God for us. It's our witness that we come together around the cross at this time of year. Make the most of it. We've still got some flyers down here. I came across a great motto recently. Each one, reach one. I like that. Each one, reach one. That's just saying invite one person along to something. And if you want to take some flyers, make sure you use those. We've got some brochures, kind of brochure for the whole Easter event thing happening down on the seafront. Some of those are in the foyer. It'd be great to put some of those in some of the shops, wouldn't it, in the library. And I'm going to do some of that. But if you feel like grabbing a pile of a dozen or so and putting them into a shop that you go to frequently and ask, probably, if you can put some down on the counter, people will see it and take it and maybe they'll come along. Who can you tell about what's going on this Easter? And bring along with you and share the love of God for us. Verse 26. Jesus said, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself might be in them. As we grow in the love of Jesus for us, and as we share this with each other, the world will notice and may come to know the wonder of Jesus for themselves. Well, last thing, as we come to the end of this passage, why does unity matter? I think we probably need to scroll through some of those bullet points. Unity matters. It shows we are united to Christ. It's a witness to the world. And it prepares us for the future. I want to show you something wonderful in verse 24. Something that's so easy to overlook. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. What's Jesus saying? He's praying. He's saying that he wants you and me to be with him forever in glory. I want those you've given me to be with me where I am. To see his glory, the glory he had before the creation of the world. There's so much to unpack in that sentence. Just amazing to realize that Jesus existed before his birth. Before the world even began, he was there. And the Father loved him and gave him glory. And he wants us to see that glory. I've been meeting for 4 years with a lovely lady. and sharing moments of faith with her, Alice Gwendolyn Crawford, 102. She was longing for heaven. She was so much looking forward to being with Jesus and with her darling husband. She loved God's people. She loved being around God's people. She's going to love heaven. Because heaven, well, as you're there with Jesus, guess what? If he wants those who are his to be with him, you're not just going to be with him. You're going to be with a whole bunch of other people as well who love Jesus. And they're not just from Ascension West Dean. There are other folks as well, praise God. She's there already. I bet she's having a whale of a time. Why does unity matter? Because it actually reminds us to keep our eyes fixed on him as we're going to spend eternity with these wonderful, wonderful folk that he is bringing to himself. And so, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get preparing for heaven by coming to know the Lord Jesus and by loving his people who you will share the future with. I wonder how you're preparing for the future. Not with bonds and shares and pensions, but with unity and love for God's people. The communion service gives us a wonderful picture of this. There's the loaf of bread. Jesus, who is broken so that we might be made whole. Families, groups, communities, churches. As Christians, we all share in the one bread. We share in this special meal of remembrance, his sign for the world of the immense love of God. He was broken to bring us together in unity in Christ, in witness, and forever. As we start to prepare to come to communion, it might be good actually at this point just to start to invite the children up, let them know that we're kind of getting towards it. But it'd be good for us, I think, just to put down our Bibles, maybe bow our heads right now. A couple of things for us to think about in response to these words. As you think about this Easter week, a time when private faith is made public, what can you do to contribute to the witness of Jesus? Some of us will be here in Brighton and can join us. Let's be united in celebration and witness. Some are going elsewhere. You can do it there and be praying for us here. What can you do this week that makes your private faith public? And a second thing I want to invite us all to do. Will you not only be united in witness, will you be united in love? As we break bread and come to communion, take this opportunity to say in your own heart afresh, God, if there's anything that I need to make right with a brother or sister, maybe someone in my family, help me to hear those words, Father, forgive them. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. Maybe just say, Lord God, I want to love. I want my life to be one of love. Maybe there's someone close to you, a family member. Just forgive them. Love them. Someone in church. Someone in another church. In this moment of quiet, let's just commit ourselves to unity. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are God, the one sent from the Father to the cross, to be broken, to die, to bleed for us, so that we might be made whole. Not just as individuals, but as families, communities, churches, as your people. So, Father, we confess our sin and our insecurities and our unforgiveness. We ask that we might know Jesus, And we ask this because we need you, because we want to be united to you. Come now, in Jesus' name. Amen.